T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. It's how you get aboard on this Monday night. Lots to get into. The Pete Rose debacle from yesterday with the Phillies. The team continues to win here 4 straight over the Nationals. And really, the Phillies have played great baseball. 11-2 since they lost that 3-game series to the Cubs. And now I expect them to make the playoffs. I mean, it's a combination of how well they've played for now a long period of time under Rob Thompson, who I believe deserves to be a Manager of the Year candidate in the National League, and the rest of the NL. I mean, you look at the Brewers right now going backwards, significantly backwards. I think the Cardinals are going to take that division. And the other team, if you're kind of looking at who the Phillies are competing with to get that last spot, and actually they've jumped above that last spot. They're in the 5th spot right now. But if you look at the competition, who, if they were to fall, who's going to take it from them? The Brewers, who I believe the Phillies are better than them right now. And the Giants are so far back. Now, the Giants won a couple games this weekend over the A's, but they've really dug a big hole. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get out of it. So it's all there for the Phillies, who have done so much the last 2 months. So much without Bryce Harper. Really great baseball by the Phillies here. We're going to talk to Scott Lauber coming up in a second about this Phillies team, what to come here, the moves of the trade deadline, and if he expects them to make the postseason for the first time in 11 years. So we'll get to all that. And then I want to hit on the idea of what's happened in the NFL. A couple things. I mean, just I saw a story today, a point of emphasis that the NFL will have in the preseason. We're going to start seeing this on Friday night. It's interesting. They want to bring back illegal contact. They didn't feel like they called it enough last year. So we'll get to that in a couple minutes. Let's talk to Mike in Exton. What's up, Mike?
Joey, how are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Joey, we got to clear something up. I'm very upset.
Okay, about what?
I threw out the first ball at 2 Phillies games at the Vet. Why am I not on the wall?
You threw out the first pitch at 2 Phillies games?
2. Joey, it's classic. It's going to be said at my funeral. First one, I threw a pop-up, and the classic thing was Dan Baker said it was the highest first ball thrown in Veterans Stadium's history.
Oh, I believe it if he said it then. So, I mean, he's seen a lot of them.
I don't, Joey, I think you know me a little bit. I don't blow smoke.
No.
But anyway, here we go. Here's the thing about the Hit King, and you got to watch the unplugged version of his video. When he told that reporter about Babe, he was inviting her to a Babe the Pig retrospective at the Ritz 5.
Oh, see, you know what? No one, people don't pick up on sarcasm the way you do, Mike. That's the difference.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? They'll never get it. But, Joe, let me say something real quick. One thing that always, and dude, I was at Pete Rose's first game at the Vet, 3 pirate hits. But anyway, remember, you might not have been alive, but when Pete Rose had like 44 hits or 55 hits or whatever he did, he was up against Gene Garber. And Gene Garber struck him out or did whatever he did and did his job. And Gene Garber was there yesterday, if I remember. And finally, Pete Rose went crazy at Gene Garber.
I didn't remember that. No, I didn't know that.
Were you old enough for that?
No, I wasn't. I missed that one.
But I was, Joe. I know. I'm 59, almost to be 60. Get off my lawn. But anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, that always disappointed me. But then he came to the field, but he's just off the rails.
Oh, it's so bad. And that inning when he was in the booth, Mike, it was uncomfortable television. I felt like T-Mac couldn't wait for that to end.
Did you watch? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I had it on, and It was like watching something bad happen in slow motion. You're like, oh no, this is not a good idea to have him on the TV broadcast.
Joe, finally, and I'm not going to answer a stupid question like the camera program. When are you having the thing at the vet, or not the vet, whatever we're going?
So here's what we're going to do. And Mike, I preached the phone call Wednesday. Tucker and I are having a meeting with our program director. Now it's more mostly about NFL season and things we're going to do during the football season. But I think like Wednesday's the day to tell Rod Lakin that we need to have an outing at a Phillies game with our audience.
I agree.
I'm thinking a Saturday night probably makes the most sense. Sundays soon are going to be busy. We can't do those.
Correct. Especially in September. Sundays tend to get very busy.
We're working during the evening. It's kind of hard to do that.
And I think it's tough to ask people to come out on a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
Even though that might work better for us.
I think they play the Pirates late in August? Like a late, last week in August type of thing? Pirates at home? Something like that.
Saturday, August 27th, they play the Pirates.
Yeah, we might be able to pull that off. We'll see if the Phillies cooperate. But that's going to come up.
They host the Nationals on September 10th.
That could also work. Night before the Eagles opener. Could be a fun weekend. That could kind of be fun, too. All right, so we'll those are on our radar. Yes, we want to go to a game with the audience. All right, we'll get back to everyone on the phone lines. Right now, though, we go to the guest line. That would be Scott Lauber of the Philadelphia Inquirer to talk about the red-hot Phillies, who right now occupy the fifth seed in the National League. Scott, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Doing well, and look, it's fun watching this team right now. Scott, before we get to all the baseball and how they're playing and who's contributing right now, Scott, what's your thought on the Phillies, the invitation to Pete Rose, and then his behavior on and off the air yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, so my feeling on it is this. If you're going to invite Pete Rose to anything, whether it's a 1980 reunion or whatever it may be, fine, go ahead. But you have to know that there's going to be Pete Rose that comes with it, right? And, like, Pete Rose can't help being who he is. He's 81. This is who he is. He's who he's always been. It is not a good look, but it's going to be there. It's going to happen. And so you've got to kind of understand that that's what you're inviting, right? That's what's coming along with it. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right that they invited him. It's just, if you're going to do it, you got to be prepared for this. And I think being prepared for it probably means making sure that, like, I've never had a PR job in my life, but I think being ready for it means making sure Pete Rose never, ever gets in front of a microphone, whether it's on the air or whether it's in front of reporters. You know, I think if Pete Rose had come there yesterday, if he'd been announced, if he walked on the field, tipped his cap, walked off the field when the ceremony was over and was not seen or heard from again the rest of the day, it probably, you know, there were going to be people all along who were not happy that he was invited, but okay, no harm, no foul, you know. He tipped his cap, he got cheered, he got booed, whatever it was, over and done with. We're not talking about it anymore. We wouldn't have been talking about it last night. We were not talking about it today. We're on to the Phillies, who've won 10 of their last 11 and are red hot and are, as you said, in the fifth playoff spot. But they allowed him, they put him in front of the microphone, they let him on their broadcast. The whole thing was a disgrace. It was Pete Rose being Pete Rose. And so now, that's what everyone's talking about last night and today. And it's a shame. It's also it's as far as I'm concerned, completely expected, because what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it clouded what was a great weekend of Phillies baseball. And Scott, the Phillies keep winning here. They're 11-2 since getting swept by the Cubs in that series after the All-Star break. They kind of felt like, uh-oh, maybe they're going to go the wrong way and this is not going to work again. 11-2 since then, Scott. They have really played now excellent baseball for a couple months since the managerial change. And we were discussing tonight, I'm curious where you lie on this. You know, the words hope, I think, maybe, probably have all been said about the playoffs this year. But I'm at the point now, Scott, where I expect it. You know, they're in the fifth spot. Milwaukee's really fallen off. The Giants have had a tough turn. And even if they make a run, they're pretty far back of the Phillies. It feels like the seas are kind of parting and they're playing well at the same time. I expect them to be in October. Where do you lie on that, Scott?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, to be honest with you, and I know that it's, you know, cynics will say that, like, okay, we've been here before. I mean, it's hard not to think about last year, alumni weekend, Mets come to town, big series, big crowds. They end the series in first place. I think they were leading them by two games. The Phillies were. And then off the cliff, right, in the second half of August and early September. I remember going, I don't remember the actual date, but I remember going to Arizona. It was like middle of the month of August. And I remember looking at the schedule and seeing all the Arizona games, all the Pittsburgh games, the Baltimore games, the Marlins games, the Nats games, right after the Nats had traded Scherzer and Turner. And it was obvious that they were going to start this downswing, this rebuild that they're in. And I remember thinking, there's no way with the schedule that the Phillies don't make the playoffs, and they didn't make it. It just feels different this year. It feels like there's more confidence. I think it stems from a couple of things. I think it stems first from the presence of some players in the room who were not there last year. I'm talking about Kyle Schwarber. I'm talking about Nick Castellanos to a certain extent. I'm talking about the presence of veteran guys who I think do a really good job of keeping the room on a more of an even keel. Like, they've been there before. They've been to the postseason. Schwarber's been there every year but one in his career. And when they get, you know, just absolutely pummeled last Tuesday night in Atlanta, you know, it's Schwarber who's standing there after the game, and we're talking to him, and he's talking about, hey, it's just one game, big deal. We're playing really well. You just got to, you know, it's kind of like saying all the things that you would expect somebody to say who understands how not to let this thing snowball out of control. And I think that there's enough of that that it's bred some confidence. I think the manager has helped because he's got kind of a sort of a calming presence about him. That's the word I come back to with Rob Thompson, is calming, because nothing is a big deal. Everything is sort of taken in stride. And then the third thing, and it's not insignificant, is the way the bullpen is pitching. It's pitched really well over the last couple of months. There are a lot of reasons for that. I wrote a story today that's on the Inquirer website right now about the way Rob Thompson uses his bullpen. But when your bullpen is pitching well and you're not blowing leads late, and it doesn't feel like no lead is too big or too small, however that goes, you know, it feels like every lead is safe. It allows you to be more confident late in games and finish the deal. So there are just some things that feel like they're different this year. And who knows, maybe the rug gets pulled out from us again. But I'm kind of with you, Joe, that I'm beyond thinking like, you know, well, like they've really positioned themselves well, to sort of thinking like, boy, they'd really have to screw it up now to miss it, because I think their odds are really, really good.
Scott, you mentioned the calming presence of Rob Thompson and how well he's managed the bullpen so far. Scott, I was thinking about how well they've done under him. It's basically two out of every three they've won since he arrived or became the manager in early June. Scott, I'm not sure if you ever voted for the manager of the year, and I know it's kind of odd because he wasn't the manager to start the year. I think he has a case. I mean, I would guess Buck Showalter's the favorite, but I don't know, if you put a ballot in front of me after Buck, I might write down Rob Thompson. What do you think about his prospects to be a manager of the year candidate here in the National League?
Yeah, I think they're terrific. I don't know yet if I'm going to, I don't know yet which award I'm going to vote for, whether it's, you know, there are four major awards and we all vote for, you know, those who of us who cover the team every day all vote for one of them. So whether it's MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, or Manager of the Year, I'll have one of those. And if I have Manager of the Year, yeah, it's something you have to look at, especially if they make the playoffs. I'm going to get this wrong because I don't have it in front of me, but there was a, you know, I remember when they made the managerial change, I remember looking at the list of teams that had made the playoffs after making an in-season managerial change, and it was not a very long list. I remember there was a Rockies team on that list in 2008, I believe, when they went from Hurdle to Tracy. There was a Houston Astros team on that list that Brad Lidge played on in 04, I want to say. I mean, there weren't very many teams over the last, you know, long while now that have made the playoffs when they've made a managerial change in season. And so, it was like, well, good for the Phillies. They made a change. Is it even going to make a difference? Well, it's made a huge difference. Like I said, his sort of calming effect on everything. Nothing ever seems like it's that big of a deal. They lose big. It's just one game, and it doesn't carry over. They win big, and I don't think that they get – I mean, look, they come out of the break. They lose three in a row to the Cubs, you know, and then he talks about sort of, you know – you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And over this stretch, I mean, you know, 11-2 in their last 13, and 8 of those wins are against the Pirates and the Nationals. And you can look at that and say, well, it's the Pirates and the Nationals. But if you're going to kill them for losing 3 in a row to the Cubs, you have to say that they took care of business against these teams that they should beat. So, and a lot of that's Thompson talking about, we've got to put the pedal foot to the pedal and run over people. And that's what they've done lately. So he's just sort of has set a mood and set a tone, and 38-19 speaks for itself. You know, it's been quite a turnaround.
Scott, what did you make of the trade deadline? We haven't spoke since what they did last week to get Syndergaard and Marsh and Robertson. I love the Robertson deal. They get a good prospect to get him, but I think he really helped stabilize it. And I think for considering what they gave up for Syndergaard, I was fine with it. The one that I think we'll talk about for a long time is Marsh for Ohapi, because it's two young players, and we'll see how they both progress. I'm a little skeptical of Marsh's offense, but we know he could play center field well. What did you make of what they did overall?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I liked it. You know, I think, you know, just sort of in talking to a lot of people about how the deadline went down, you know, we knew going into the deadline that their priority was starting pitching. And there was definitely a point last Tuesday on deadline day where they weren't sure they were going to get a starting pitcher. They drew a line and said, we're not trading Abel, Painter, or McGarry. And those were the three guys that everybody wanted. And you look at what some of the higher end pitchers went for. You know, the Mariners got a haul for Castillo, and the Phillies were never in on that. The Yankees gave up a ton to get Montas, and the Phillies were never really in on that. Even Tyler Mahle, right? I mean, he went in that deal, and the Reds got a pretty good package back. I'm sure that they were asking for one of the big three pitchers from the Phillies, and the Phillies said no way. So I think they pivoted at some point that day, and you know, they looked at defense and they looked at the bullpen and they thought, okay, we can shorten games by adding another reliever. And really, Robertson takes the spot that was vacated by Familia, who did not pitch well. But I mean, it's a veteran pitcher who they expect to pitch well in the seventh and eighth innings and occasionally the ninth, and to give them just another guy back there for Thompson to have. And it's important given the way he uses his bullpen. He doesn't really assign pitchers to innings. He assigns pitchers to matchups. And when you do that, you know, it enables you to do some things when you've got options in your bullpen. Now, all of a sudden, if the big point in the game comes up in the eighth inning, you can use Dominguez in the eighth, and you can still have either Hand or Robertson, depending on left, right, and who's coming up in the ninth inning. Those are nice options to have. So I'm with you. I really like that move. Ben Brown was having a great year. 33rd round pick who had just gotten promoted to double A. It's a success story for the scouting department and the player development department. But, you know, this is what scouting and player development do. They develop guys to a certain point. You either use them yourself or you use them to get something. And then it's their job to get the next Ben Brown. And so I think that that's kind of the way the Phillies looked at that, was that, you know, nice prospect, you know, projectable after this, but who knows? Let's just go find the next guy and replace him in the system. So I really like that move, the defense move for Marsh. I agree with you. You know, we'll determine whether this was a good deadline or a really good deadline, depending on how Marsh turns out. I talked to a lot of people last week about his offense, people with, including people with the Angels, who think that there's still a lot in there and that a change of scenery will be good. And a lot of people pointed to the fact that Marsh missed all of 2020, like a lot of minor leaguers did. He would have been in AAA that year, and instead, no minor league season. He's at the alternate site, doesn't play in any games. 21, he starts the year in AAA. They had to rush him to the big leagues because they had injuries, including Mike Trout. Struggled a bit in the big leagues. So he's really kind of learned on the job in the big leagues, and he struggled a bit. There's been a lot of swing and miss, struggle with breaking pitches. Kevin Long seems to think that there are things that they can do to fix it. It might just be that he needs more reps. So maybe he turns out to be a hitter and he solves a long problem that they've had in center field. Ohapi was blocked by JT Realmuto, who's not going anywhere. So they took what they thought was a strength and turned it into, you know, fixing center field. And then the Syndergaard thing came up at the end. You know, the Angels couldn't do the thing they wanted to do, which was trade him to the Blue Jays. They thought they had something worked out there. It didn't happen. They came back to the Phillies, and the price was pretty marginal when you think about it. I mean, Moniak was not going to work out here. They kicked in another prospect, low-level prospect. They paid all the money down, which they can do because they're over the CBT already, the luxury tax. And, you know, they got Syndergaard, who's not what he used to be, but he's he's probably better than the internal options that they had to fill that spot in the rotation. And so we'll see what he can give them. But yeah, I liked it. Overall, I liked it. I thought that they made the roster deeper and stronger and altogether better.
Last one for you, Scott. When Bryce Harper comes back, and you know, I know he said the word September-ish last week. I'm kind of projecting a good problem to have for the Phillies, and that is, what do they do with Derek Hall and his bat? Because he's helped. I mean, he's really got a lot of extra base hits against right-handed pitching, and unless Bryce's elbow allows him to play the outfield, I don't know what Derek Hall is. Is he just a pinch hitter off the bench? What do you think they do with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it becomes a situation where there is not a spot for him in the lineup every day at that point. You're right, he has helped. And I think I'm going to give you the answer that I get when I ask the question of Phillies people, which is, you know, we'll cross the bridge when we come to it because it's still several weeks away and who knows what's going to happen. You know, any number of things can happen and you might have a need where you didn't think you would. So, you know, it's a nice problem to have and something that they'll worry about when the time comes. I suppose he could be a left-handed bat off the bench and help them that way. I suppose that there are ways that you could get him in the lineup. I mean, I would imagine, and who knows how the rest of the rehab is going to go, but I would imagine that after all this time down, you know, you're not just going to, even if it's a DH situation, you're not just going to run Harper out there the rest of the year without a day off, you know? So there are going to be times where you need to kind of give Harper a break, or, you know, a little bit of a blow. So, you know, there may be a way to kind of get him. I haven't worked it all out in terms of, like, who comes off the roster at Hall's expense or whatever it is, but there may be ways to get him some at-bats, you know, down the stretch and into September and figure out a way to do that. And if not, you know, at the very least, he's made an impression and he's helped you and maybe he gives you something to think about in the offseason.
Great stuff, Scott. You know, we always appreciate hopping on. We'll be reading over in the Inquirer, including the new post, an article on Topper. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Anytime, Joe.
There you go. Scott Lauber, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Yes, a good problem to have. When Bryce Harper's healthy, Derek Hall really has no role except being a left-handed bat off the bench, unless Bryce Harper could play the outfield, which has been kind of talked about, but no one knows if that's real or not. If he could play the outfield, Derek Hall and Nick Castellanos, that's a DH platoon waiting to happen if the Phillies could stomach sitting Castellanos as the weaker side of the platoon. 215-592-9494. Get you, but we'll come back. The NFL today threw out an idea that they want as a point of emphasis in the preseason, and it sounds like it's coming to the NFL regular season. It's going to affect things for the Eagles, for every team, offense, defense, and how many points you're going to score. We'll hit that, and we got to play this for you. Ben Simmons. Story today as the Nets continue to implode on when Kevin Durant was out on Ben Simmons. You're going to love this. We'll play it next on Sports Radio 94WI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.